Welcome back to the program. Auburn plays in 2 days for its first ever BCS championship. Carrying the banner for the Southeastern Conference, going for a fifth straight SEC BCS championship. And welcome to the official Bun Sports BCS championship preview show, along with David Sears. My name is Jacob Bunn. David, when you look at Auburn's season to this point, filled with unbelievable wins, last-second victories, controversy, and yet they are they have won a championship and they're in the running for another. Right? Just talk a little bit about their season.
Well, you have to start back and just remember that Cam Newton was not Superman always. He was an unknown factor. No one was really sure how he was going to do at Auburn. They assumed he'd be the starter. They were correct in that assumption. He struggled early. And then something clicked after Mississippi State. That was probably Auburn's worst offensive performance of the year, only scoring 17 points. And then they were able to put it together, and Superman was born. He has multiple famous runs and drives. And, of course, the biggest being the Iron Bowl victory, down 24, coming back to win 28-27. Then we get the whole recruiting controversy tied to Cam and Cecil Newton, and this has kind of given a black eye to the whole thing and exposed college football and college athletics for what it really is, and that's basically a meat market for players. And it's going to be viewed by some as a tainted national title if they are to win it, and then Auburn fans don't care because it's been 1957 was the last time they won a national title in football. So you've got the Auburn fans who basically don't care. They just wanted, to quote Malcolm X, by any means necessary.
Sure.
And you've got pretty much everybody else in the country saying, you know what, you cheat, you shouldn't be here. It should have been TCU. So it's interesting. It's definitely a season that will go down in the annals of college football history, and I'm pretty sure there will be books written about this and this whole subject, because I don't think the Cam is over, especially with the new developments about the NCAA.
Well, Cam is definitely not over, but you're talking about the
investigation about Cam.
Yeah, I think you're right, and you look at Auburn's season, and you see the Cam Newton definitely took over and made a name for himself. The defense struggled the first part of the year. Everybody, the biggest question with Auburn was, where was their defense? And I think in the second half of the season, especially games in the second half against Georgia, in the second half against Alabama, and then of course in the championship game against South Carolina, to hold South Carolina only 17 points in the biggest game of South Carolina's existence. So Auburn's defense has shown up to play. Now the question is, and I don't jump to conclusions, Auburn has not won the national championship yet, although I think a lot of people will want to go ahead and crown them the national champion. Well, they're not. They have to remain focused and play Oregon. If I'm coming from an Auburn perspective, the main thing I would be concerned about is the amount of attention Auburn is getting. It seems to be a little bit of a loose approach to this championship game, and I wonder, because you see Oregon's kind of plodding along in a business-like fashion. I wonder if that'll have an effect.
Well, it can be read either way. This morning on the game day special, the consensus of Al, Paul, and Jim was that it seemed Oregon was more uptight. They were more nervous. They were concerned about the size disparity and other things, and the reality of the situation was setting in with them, and they were just starting to become afraid.
Right.
And Auburn is just confident because they've played in the toughest league, so they figure that Oregon will just be a walk in the park. Darren Thomas comes out with comments saying that Nick Fairley's a dirty player, then kind of backs away from it yesterday. And it just seems that more and more you hear from the media and everything that Auburn is going to just romp over Oregon. We definitely get that from the fan base, and we definitely get that from some of the players. They're so loose. Nick Fairley and many others were joking around yesterday at Media Day with Aaron Andrews and Carly and a bunch of other media people. And then when you go to the Oregon interviews, they seem very stoic, very very quiet. A quiet confidence, I think, is how you would put it.
You wonder if SEC going for five in a row, if people aren't just go ahead and crown Auburn the national champion, and the game hadn't been played yet. Going back to your point about the controversy off the field, yeah, it's still ongoing, and I think you're right. I think that we haven't seen the end of this Cam Newton fiasco that has plagued Auburn and is plaguing college football right now. I just have to wonder, and we know that the NCAA is still investigating this because of the recent article by Thayer Evans saying that the NCAA met with these two people before Christmas. I just have to wonder if it is in fact vacated down the line, and that being the SEC championship and the BCS championship and every game Auburn's played this year, what kind of message does that send to college football that this entire season was a complete sham? What kind of message does that send to Oregon, South Carolina, and the other teams Auburn has played? Because it can't be good.
Well, the part of the problem is they have no concrete evidence. So if they were going to force Auburn to sit Cam and it turns out later he was innocent, they had wasted an entire season and an opportunity for Auburn. They would not be able to experience the unique postseason opportunity that they're so fond of saying. But if you let him play,
we saw Terrell Pryor and the others.
Yes, enjoy. But if you let him play, and it turns out he's guilty, then mm-hmm. it's easier to go back and say you have to give up all these victories and everything.
Yeah,
it's a catch 22 situation. It hurt the team. It hurts the most is TCU. If something comes out that Auburn did participate in illegal activities recruiting Cam, then TCU was screwed out of a shot at a national title.
Mm-hmm.
Basically because a team cheated, which just isn't right. And there's lots of issues that need to be addressed with amateurism. Let's face it, college athletics are not amateur athletics. It's a business. Should we pay the players? Yes. Is there an easy way to do it without violating Title IX? No.
No.
So they'll have to find a way to do it, come to grips eventually with this. And it's a shame,
yeah,
because college football is one of the best sports. It's become one of the most popular sports in the nation. Ratings have grown on broadcasts during the regular season. They're down a bit since all the major bowls are on cable, but that's to be expected because not as many people have cable,
sure,
as broadcast TV.
But it's still the highest ever.
But
cable.
It's ESPN's highest ratings ever for non-NFL games.
Right.
And it's a shame because we should be talking about the two best teams playing in the national championship game for what should be a shining moment for not only Auburn, but for the SEC to win five straight national titles, seven of the, what was this? This would be seven of the 13.
It would give the SEC the majority of all BCS championships.
Yeah. What are we talking about? We're talking more about the Cam situation, the Cam mess.
Off the field.
Off the field and stuff. Everyone is so hypersensitive right now. Everyone wants to nail Auburn to the wall, and Auburn fans are just – they are being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an interesting situation to see all the way around. I, for one, I want to believe innocent until proven guilty, but the circumstantial evidence is building.
it really does put a dark cloud over
it. It's getting really hard not using the principles of logic to connect the dots here.
Well, and we know, I mean, we you and I can sit here, and the average fan around the country, if you don't have an allegiance to Ohio State or Auburn, knows that both of those rulings with the Terrell Pryor and the Tat 5 and Cam Newton were just shams. I mean, the NCAA, they didn't want to act, and they didn't want to suspend the kids for their unique postseason opportunity, and that's the choice they made. But that seems to me to be setting a precedent, and we'll see if they hold to that precedent later on down the road.
Using the NCAA's own argument, they didn't want to cost Terrell Pryor and the rest of the Tat 5 the unique postseason opportunity.
Right.
Well, they cost USC scholarships, which cost, and they gave them a postseason ban, which cost them 2 years of a unique postseason opportunity. Well, USC not being able to have their full allotment of scholarships will cost other schools, or will cost players that would have gone to other schools their opportunity, because there's not that many scholarships out there for Division I football now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have more people affected by the loss of scholarships at USC. It's a huge ripple effect. They're costing lots of players that unique postseason opportunity that they're so fond of saying.
Right.
And it's just so silly to me that the NCAA would champion all this stuff. And like, no, money had no effect on the outcome. And then the head of the Sugar Bowl comes out and says, we lobbied to have them instated for the game.
Right.
Business,
yeah,
money plays a huge
it's
factor.
It's
they
all
don't
want
to admit it, but The NCAA is just concerned about their tax-exempt status. If they continue these shenanigans, Congress may step in like Congress did when baseball had the game-fixing scandals back with the Black Sox World Series.
Absolutely. That's a great point. They better shape up and be fair to all sides, or congressmen are going to get
and the last thing the last thing a private enterprise wants is government interference.
None. You don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. You're absolutely right. Other news coming out over the weekend, Ryan Mallett, along with Alabama's Mark Ingram, Marcell Dareus, and Julio Jones will all be going to the NFL. Good decisions by all, you think?
For the three Bama players that have come out, yes. Julio has been projected top 10. Some drafts even have him top 5. Dareus has been projected a top 10. Ingram is projected a first rounder, and supposedly the Patriots really like his running style and want to get him in their system. So we'll see if the Pats are able to get Mark Ingram. That's just early projections from Mel Kiper. Dante Hightower made a very wise decision because he did have a good season. But when he was the Mike linebacker, having to call the entire defense, having to check everything, he was very uncomfortable. It showed on the field. It showed on the defense. When he went back to being the Jack and Will, where all he had to do was play coverage or rush, he was much better suited.
He was.
And Bama still has some players with Mays deciding, which I think would be a big mistake. If he comes back, he's probably going to be the primary receiver.
One would think, with the loss of Jones.
And then Barron's decision whether to come out or not. As a Bama fan, I would like to see him come back, but I think he's projected second rounder, which is still pretty good money, especially with this sliding rookie salary cap that's going to be in place.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Mallett, it's hard to say.
No.
He has the tools, but he doesn't have the mindset. I think he's Ryan Leaf 2.0. I don't see him. He tends to choke in the crunch. He choked against Bama. He threw two picks that one that gave Bama the opportunity to take the go-ahead score, and the second one that basically ended the game by giving Bama enough time to run out the clock. I won't really blame him for Auburn because he got just KO'd in Auburn. But he did have that great game against LSU. He looked really well there. He made a bad decision. He didn't see the zone blitz with the defensive end dropping into coverage against Ohio State and threw it right to the guy.
I don't think he's going to live that one down anytime
soon. That's not his fault, though. That game has so many – that one play will be pointed out as the thing that lost it, but there are so many different – there's drop passes, there's blown coverages in the defense, and if he would have scooped and scored, it would have been completely out of his hands.
It would have been over, yeah. I agree. Well, and then on the other hand, you see a guy like Andrew Luck who wants to stay in school and pursue his architectural degree. Do you think that's a good decision?
It's a great decision for the NCAA because it makes it look like they really are student athletes. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's great for the NCAA.
And then finally, LSU. What's going on with LSU? Well, they just won the Cotton Bowl last night. What else? Michigan may be calling for their coach. I have a strong belief that Michigan is going to land Les Miles as its next head coach.
Well, it's going to be a shame. Because I will miss Les Miles.
Well,
Last night the post game show, he talked about Hurst had an injury and it was only temporary. I didn't know injuries could be permanent. That was a thigh bruise, but I enjoy Les Miles.
He is a one of a kind.
He has his own website, thequotablelesmiles.com. Yeah. And he even has there's a TQ Les on Twitter.
Wow.
And you can get the quotable Les Miles. And he's a brilliant man.
He is. He's a great football coach, and I think that's one of the reasons Michigan wants to hire him. We all know that Lloyd Carr does not care for him very much, but the athletic director at Michigan, Dave Brandon, was a teammate of his at Michigan when he played under Bill Schimblecker, and I think believes that he can get Les Miles and that he would be a perfect fit at Michigan. Plus, Sports by Brooks yesterday, another blog on the internet, came out and reported that there was a jet of a wealthy Michigan booster spotted in Baton Rouge yesterday.
Painted like the famous winged helmet of Michigan.
Dominoes in the coaching carousel could be falling. Saying, okay, it's now time for our prediction of the big game Monday night. It will be I'm sure we'll start about 7:30. I'm sure that they will have
I believe 7:30 is the kickoff time.
They'll have coverage all day, and of course you can hear coverage also on WJOX in Birmingham, leading up to the game.
Snowmageddon.
What's your prediction of the
I said it this morning on Jocks Game Day, and I'm sticking to it. Oregon 45, Auburn 35. I like Oregon to be in control for most of the game, then ice it late.
Well, that's so after all this time, you haven't switched over to Auburn. As much as we've tried to get you to come
just
over and see the line.
I feel that Auburn is going to do something to screw it up. I'm not sure that the Auburn defense, if Oregon can maintain the pace they want, will be able to recover. I think Fairley will be worn out and rendered ineffective merely by the speed of Oregon. Because, if you're going to try to match strength for strength, Oregon will lose.
Yeah.
But if you're going to try to outquick them, I think Oregon's got that on them.
Well, I think you're right. And I'm picking Auburn in a close game. But I think it's going to be less scoring than you think. I think the first half, you get out, there'll be a touchdown, maybe they'll swap touchdowns once or twice. But I think after that, it really settles down. And I think these two defenses, they've been talked about how they're so weak and so pathetic, and there's no way they can stop Cam Newton. The defense have been maligned this whole build-up, and I think that the defenses are really going to come to play. So I think a 31-21 game with Auburn winning by 10, I just think Auburn's size is going to be too much for Oregon, but I do think their defense holds Oregon to 3 touchdowns. I think it's going to be a more of a defensive contest than we all expect. What's the over-under?
Over-under is 73.5 right now.
Yeah, I don't think it comes close. I think it's way under. So we will see, but that is a prediction from predictions from Sears and myself, and we will
be with you on Wednesday with a new one.
Auburn will
reviewing the game and getting ready for that fun season in football. That's called recruiting.
But it will be interesting to see. Auburn wins the national championship on Monday. The question I want everyone to answer, and even Auburn fans, how long do they keep it?